I should have thanked you and welcomed as well our brother Frank Cairns. Thanked you for your prayers. We were praying for his travel, which took quite a long time, and thankfully his time of leave starts from when he arrived here and not from when he left, because that was a long haul. But thankfully he did arrive safely, and we're glad to have him here and trust the Lord will bless him during his time here. Also, if my near memory, I think I mentioned the three Holmes children instead of four, and how I could forget Jonathan, really. You get to know Jonathan, he's unforgettable. He is one live wire, and he could be all in himself, all the market we would ever need for the anniversary camp DVD that we did a few years ago. He watches that sometimes several times a day. He practically has the whole thing memorized, and therefore he's interested in seeing a lot of people here because he's known them from the camp video. So he has worn it out, so we've replaced it, given them a new one, and we'll keep a special store just to make sure that Jonathan gets what he needs. But nonetheless, we're certainly glad to have them here. And introducing our brother Colby Holmes, I don't know what to say. The Lord has certainly blessed his fellowship to me. I have enjoyed discussing the Scriptures and rejoicing in Christ with him. And the Lord has blessed that fellowship over the years to enrich me and to teach me much. And I'm very glad that he's been able to come here a year and a half ago and again now, so that you can get to meet him and get to hear him minister the Lord's Word. He has great gifts. In fact, some of you who were here a year and a half ago will remember he has that uncanny ability to translate Spanish into Spanish. And hopefully he won't be doing that on this occasion, but nonetheless he'll preach to us in English. But we're certainly glad to have him here. Trust the Lord and we'll bless him.
I hope my English is better than David's Spanish this morning. First of all, I'd like to bring greetings from the church in Argentina and say a little bit about the work there. We've been there now for 6 years since our last term, almost 6 years, and we have seen many people come and go. And I've often written to David about it, and he's called it blessed additions and blessed subtractions. It's been at times hard to see some of the families that we've ministered not abide in the Lord. But we are rejoicing at the present for the fruit that God has granted us in the ministry and the work there in Argentina. And to tell you the truth, my wife, Lisa, who is sitting there right now, the Lord has used her during these past 6 years in a great way with the ladies in the ministry with them in the church, especially with personal Bible studies one-on-one with the ladies, and has been a tremendous encouragement to the work. And surely at this moment, the ladies miss her very much. The customs and cultures in Argentina are much different than they are here, and we tend to have our home pretty much open to people coming and going. And Lisa expects ladies to come to the house around 10 o'clock in the morning. And they come to drink a famous drink that is called mate. Some of you have probably had a taste of it or seen David in pictures and stuff. He didn't like it that well. But it's just a drink that people like here would have coffee or tea. But they stay around and they have fellowship, and many times it has to do with questions of the Scriptures, and it's a precious time. And it's something that sometimes when we come back to the States, it's one of the things we miss. We also are doing our Saturday door-to-door visitation in the city. We have over the years covered the city twice with literature, and we're starting again because there's always new people coming into the city. And there's new homes that are being added. And sometimes we go to the homes that we've been going in the past and we haven't had a clear reception. But then going back, we have had. And the Lord has blessed it with some of the young people in the church and some of the men that we've gone out door to door. And we've seen quite a bit of contacts and fruit through that, which has been a tremendous blessing. And the Lord has also used the kids in their schooling. One of our children had invited one of his friends to church, and that brought the whole family, and that brought the wife, the mother of that girl, to our church, and she started Bible studies with Lisa, and the Lord used those Bible studies to bring her to Christ, and she's been growing. So we thank the Lord also for that. I don't know, my family's back there. You can meet them after. We, like David said, I have a daughter that's 17, then Benjamin 13, then Samuel 12, and then Jonathan. I don't see him there. He's around there somewhere. He's not here. Yeah, okay. Jonathan's not here right now. Okay, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts in chapter 8. I have to confess something to you. I log on to sermon audio quite often to listen to messages. I've been listening to some of the messages, and I often listen to Pastor Cairns as he speaks. Because our time right now in Argentina would be 1:48, our services get done around 12, so I have the time to do that. But I have to be honest with you before the Lord, and I was telling David this yesterday when we were having breakfast together, that it's always humbling to listen to the Word of God, especially since I've known David over the years, to see the depth that you folks have in the Scriptures. And it is humbling to my own heart. It's something that I've always desired and something that I long for. But so I told David yesterday, I said, I don't know this, and I don't call this false humility because I don't have any humility at all, per se. So I don't call it false humility, but the honest truth is I feel so inadequate to share the Scriptures when you folks hear sermons the way you do from Pastor Cairns and Pastor David and Dr. Barrett, and it's always been a blessing. And even the study this morning from Dr. Barrett's son on church history was an eye-opener to my own heart. But let's read in Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Years ago, the Lord used this scripture, and me and my wife, to make a determination as to the time we were supposed to go down to Argentina. My dad, who at the time was a missionary there, had come up to visit us in the States. I was pastoring a church in Allegash, Maine. And my dad came up, and he was a little bit troubled that I was kind of dragging my feet, as he thought. And he said, "Cole, when are you going to come down to Argentina?" Well, I said, "I'm not sure yet. I don't know. I don't have any indication from Scripture. I'm just waiting on the Lord." And so the next morning, we were gathered together with the family, and we were visiting with Dad in Portland, Maine. He said, "Cove, I want to talk to you alone." So I said, "Okay." And we got together, and he said, "This morning I was early praying for you and for Peter and for Raymond and for Bethany." And he said, and I felt in my heart, the Lord said, "Forget Peter, talk to Colby." And that shocked me when he said that. Now, my brother was heading to Spain as a missionary, and he was dragging his feet. And so Dad said, "I just wanted to let you know that." That's all he said. "Forget Peter, talk to Colby." But he never told me, "Talk to me." He just said that's what God had intended. So I got in the car, and Lisa was driving, and I had a cassette of the reading of the Scriptures on. And I was going in the back with Natalie. And Acts chapter 8 was being read, and verse 26. And I began to pray before this verse came. Began to say, "Lord, give me a clear indication." And I read this verse. This verse, I heard it being read, "Arise and go towards the south." Well, it struck me at that moment. Now, that's always been my desire, to go to Argentina. I grew up in the country. I had gone to Bible school to study. And I wanted to go back to Argentina. But I just wanted to do it right in God's timing. And I got this verse, arise and go towards the south. So I said, like Gideon, one more time. I didn't even remember what was coming up. And I got to Acts chapter 9. And you remember, in Acts chapter 9, verse 6. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go. Again. And I was so doubtful at that moment that I said, just one more time. And not far in the passage, verse 11, the Lord said unto him, arise and go. I said, okay. Now, I was listening, and Lisa did not know what was happening in my heart. I was listening, and I could hear, arise and go, arise and go, arise and go. Well, when we got to the church, the next Sunday was a sad Sunday because I had to tell the people, I'm leaving. And we had developed a tremendous friendship with the believers there. And so that was a hard time. We began our preparation to go to Argentina. And we went to Argentina after Lisa had studied the Spanish language. We went to Argentina in 1991 and we got there August the 13th. But God used this text at that time to speak to my heart about His leading us toward Argentina. Now, my desire when I got to Argentina was to start a new work. Now, I didn't feel for a moment that I was called to church planting. I really did not know what was the gifts the Lord had given me in that area of ministry. But when I got to Argentina, I found a pastor by the name of Scott Brackett, who had started the work where we are now, who was leaving for some reasons. He was leaving the mission board and he was leaving leaving Ezeiza. But he never had told me this, and the mission had decided that I should work together with him for a few months before starting to work. Well, when we got there, he, 2-3 months into the ministry, came up to me and said, Cobb, I'm leaving. And I said, did I jump on a boat that's sinking? And he said, no, it's personal reasons, but I'm leaving. So I said, okay. And it's been, since he left till this time, that we have been in Ezeiza ministering. And the Lord used that text that I just read to you in verse 26. Arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. We'll keep on reading. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of the great authority, of great authority under Candace, king, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him, and read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let's pray before we look to God's Word this morning. Our gracious Father, we do thank Thee once again for being in the presence of Thy people. We do thank Thee, O God, for allowing us to come before Thee and to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, as it's already been prayed. We pray, O God, that as we open Thy Word now, we would be granted understanding. We would be granted that our ears might be open to hear, and that our hearts might be inclined, and that our eyes might be open to see. We pray that Thy Spirit would cause us to once again behold the glory of the Lord. We pray that Christ might be exalted through Thy Word. We pray that our hearts would be once again receive the blessing of Thy Word, and that we might be filled, we might be nourished, we might grow up into Christ in all things. We pray, our Father, this morning that Thou would grant that Thy people would be exhorted, they would be consoled, and that they would be edified through the preaching of Thy Word. For we ask these things in Christ Your name. Amen. I was wondering, when I was going to come up to the States, I began to pray and ask the Lord, what am I going to share? And I began to think over this portion of Scripture, and this occasion in the life of Philip. Now, when I was in Allegash, Maine years ago, I had a man give me a wise counsel, and I've sought to keep that counsel over these years. And it's to exalt always Christ and His Word, and exalt always God and His Word throughout the Scriptures. That man has came down only in one occasion to Argentina and preached. We have the joy of having him preach in our church down there in Argentina, and the believers were able to hear him. He was just a deacon in the church when I was in Allegash, Maine, but a tremendous brother. But I thought upon this text of verse 26 in the life of Philip. I'd like you to read again with me verse 26. It says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Now, some commentators disagree on this text of who is it speaking of. If it was just one of the angels of heaven, if it was Christ Himself, or if it was the Spirit of God. And some commentators kind of defer in this, and I don't want to get into that argument this morning. But I do understand something about the background of the life of Philip in chapter 8. That it says that he had gone to Samaria to preach. And he began to preach Christ according to the text of chapter 8 verse 5. And God began to bless his ministry abundantly. And according to Acts chapter 6, it tells us some of the qualities that were in Philip. One of them was that he was full of the Spirit. Another one was that he was of good testimony. And the other one was, in the life of Philip, that he was a man full of wisdom. And if you understand the concept of a man full of wisdom in Scripture, it's a man that does not lean on his own understanding. It's a man that doesn't rest upon his own wisdom. He's the man of Proverbs chapter 3 that trusts in the Lord with all his heart and leans not unto his own understanding, who is receiving the wisdom that is from above. This is what we find in Philip. But it says clearly that an angel came and spake to Philip. Now, Philip was occupied, according to Scriptures, in the greatness of his work in Samaria. And if you look at me for a moment in chapter 8 and verse 5, we read that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And it tells us that he began to have much fruit, to the point that the apostles were called to come and began to establish these believers in Samaria. But Philip was, at that point, living in the will of the living God. He was full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, had a tremendous testimony, had a great work going, and yet, at that moment in his life, God had to change the direction. Now, he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was living in the fullness of the Spirit, in the fullness of wisdom, in a tremendous testimony. He was having tremendous prosperity in the gospel. And God sends an angel and says to him, "It's time to move." Now, what I want to mark is this, is that Philip had no idea at this point where God was leading him. But what is marvel to me is that everything that is happening right now in Philip's life started at the throne room. He got a messenger from heaven to come and speak to him about the change of direction in his life. He was living in the abundance of fruit in Samaria, and God says, "Wants you to go to the desert." God was blessing his ministry, and now he says, "Go to the desert." Now, different of other men in the Scriptures, if we remember Jonah, when he got a message to go and preach condemnation to a whole city, he refused to do the will of God, began to run the other direction. And we know the story, how God worked out so that Jonah would do his will. He had to kind of give him a little chastening, a little discipline, brought him around, and Jonah, after we read in the fourth chapter of the book of Jonah that he wasn't too happy with the way God worked things out. But he wasn't very willing at the beginning. At the difference of the appearing of the voice of God to Philip, God himself descended to speak to Moses. And he came in a burning bush. And it was an amazing sight. Yet Moses was not willing to do the will of God. God came to Jeremiah and he said, "It's time. I want you to serve me." Jeremiah said, "No." So much different than other men in Scripture, or even Peter himself, when told of the Lord that there was men that were coming, and God had to prepare all this to break down this difference that Peter had with the Gentiles. And Peter said to the Lord, "No," 3 times. Different was Philip. The Lord said to him, through the angel, notice verse 26, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south." And verse 27 says, "And he arose and went." There's no recorded scripture of Philip resisting the voice of the Lord. It says, the scriptures say in Psalm 65, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest." God doesn't choose anybody. He spoke to Eli, and Eli would not hear him. So he condescended Eli, the high priest, and he went to a little boy in the temple called Samuel, and called out to him, "Samuel!" And that is an amazement to me, that just because we are pastors and preachers, doesn't mean that God is speaking only to us. Because many times the ones that are not hearing him are those that are in the pulpit. We can be very quickly preachers of things that we don't that are not a reality in our lives at all. But listen, Philip, not only enter to the blessed is the man whom thou choosest, but blessed is the man that heareth me. In Proverbs chapter 8, I enjoy that text very much. It says, blessed is the man that heareth me. You know, God has not always found a hearing ear in His children. We know that throughout Scripture. God's people through the book from Genesis on and to Deuteronomy, we find that nation to be tremendous in its rebellion against God. Moses said, you were rebellious in my presence, you will be in my absence. But blessed is the man that heareth me. Philip was a man who was hearing God. And now he had the privilege of hearing Him again. Blessed is the man that heareth me. But you see, to hear God in the life of Philip wasn't just to hear His voice. It was to heed. To do His voice. Many times we're wondering about the will of God and we've heard it and we know it. The psalmist didn't say, teach me to know thy will. He said, teach me to do. I know. I'm not doing what I know. Many times God speaks His will to us, but He finds resistance. Men like Moses, men like Jonah, men like Jeremiah. No, not Philip. The Scripture is clear. Not Philip. Notice verse 26. It says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Can I say something this morning? He wasn't bound to the abundance of His ministry. He wasn't bound to the abundance of His ministry. He wasn't tied to relationships in His ministry. He didn't call Samaria my church. This is my work. I got to stay on. He wasn't bound to abundance. He was ready to take a desert-like situation. He didn't have any problem with God's command. He was delighted to do His will. He was bound to the will of God and not to the work of God. Many of us confuse that many times. God said to Philip, arise and go towards the south. And Philip, God says, He wants you to go to the desert. I heard one preacher say, Philip looked up and said, who am I going to preach to? Preach to cactus? It is interesting that God didn't tell him everything. He just said, I want you to go. Just like Abraham. Get up and go. And Abraham went not knowing where he was supposed to go. Because many a times, God doesn't reveal everything immediately. It seems like a trial of faith that we ought to walk in the knowledge we have. Now notice verse 27. It says, and he arose and went. He not only was a blessed man because he heard, he was a blessed man because he was prompt to obey. He was prompt to obey. Now, you know, when I think of Zacharias, when Gabriel came to give him the announcement, and he said, you're going to have a son, and Zacharias doubted what the angel was telling him. Gabriel looked at him and said, I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God, and because you have doubted my word, you will not speak for the next 6 months. But the angel came to Philip and didn't find that resistance. He found a willing heart and he found a man who was ready to go where the Lord told him to go. He was not only had the blessed ear, blessed is a man that heareth me, but he was ready to do the will of God. He said, arise and go. And the Bible says, verse 27, he arose and went. Now, It is interesting. I had somebody ask me yesterday about what does it mean to be full of the Spirit. Well, I can tell you what it doesn't mean. But I can tell you that Stephen was a man not only full of the Spirit, but he was led of the Spirit. And I remember years ago listening to a message that was called, "And He Was Sent, and He Went." That was all the title, you know. Caught my attention, so I started to listen to it. "And He Was Sent, and He Went." And he just kept on repeating this phrase in the book of John, the Gospel of John, where over 40 times it speaks this about Christ, "When He was sent, and He went." And if you were to come to Mount Calvary and look at Golgotha, you would find him there and you would ask him, "Lord, what are you doing there?" He would have answered you, "I was sent." And I heard this man say that a servant is one whose will is consumed in the will of another. Philip's life was consumed in the will of God. I'm wondering how hard it is for you to just arise and go at this point. How many ties are there in your life that will not allow you to hear the calling of this voice to say, "Arise and go"? Now, in the life of Philip, it was simple. The Lord said, "Arise and go." And the Bible says he arose and went. And notice verse 27. "And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship." Now, this is the description that Philip does not tell us, that Luke writes in the book of Acts concerning this man. And the Spirit of God tells us that this man came to worship, yet he was lost. Just as in Acts chapter 17, when it speaks about the idolatry, Paul says to them, "You worship an unknown God." Now, it is a fact that many men seek to worship. Many men seek to desire to worship. Maybe what A.W. Tozer said, it's called prevenient grace. Maybe it's God working, drawing them unto this place. Maybe like Cornelius in chapter 10 of the book of Acts. But the issue is they had a desire to worship. And this Ethiopian eunuch had a desire to worship. But he came to the right place, Jerusalem. If we were to seek for the purest form of worship, the right place for worship, it would have been Jerusalem at that time. With the law of Moses and with all the commandments, it had to be the right place to be at, to seek the living God. And the Bible says he came into Jerusalem and he was going out of Jerusalem. And just as he went out of the temple, he saw a stand where they were selling Bibles. And he bought one, Book of Isaiah. And he was taking it home. So you would say, he is showing the fruit of Christ in him because he came to worship and he's reading his Bible. He must be a Christian. No. He's lost. He's in darkness. But Philip was in Samaria with all kinds of people. And this is just a eunuch, a nobody. But heaven wants to reach him. So it moves an angel to speak to Philip. "Stop, get out of Samaria. Run to the desert where there's nobody. There's somebody there I need to reach." And if we would only be subject to the Spirit of the living God, we wouldn't be so caught up in the bigness of our works as much as in the uniqueness of one soul. For God was surpassing the blessings of Samaria to not forget a poor needy soul who was going across the desert back to his country. And the most interesting thing is about this text is, if you notice with me, verse 29, it says that the Ethiopian eunuch was going back from Jerusalem, had come to worship, and he was going back And he was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit of God in verse 29 said unto Philip, go near. Oh, the Pharisees couldn't get near sinners. Now, don't get me wrong. But here there was no racism in Philip either. Because he was Ethiopian. He was black. The Spirit of God says, go near. He's not a Jew. Why didn't he resist like Peter? The will of the Lord. Oh no, I haven't gotten near nothing that's common or unclean. I don't touch that stuff. I don't go near those people. God said, the Spirit of God somehow communicated at that moment. First of all, Philip, leave Samaria. Go to the desert. And when he was in the desert, God says to Philip, go near. Go near and join yourself to that chariot. Now, I want to say something to you this morning. It might not sound biblical, but I want to say it. When Jesus drew near the city, in that Luke chapter 19, it says, he wept when he saw it. And I really believe, dear ones, that we'll never weep until we draw near. And I really believe, dear ones, that we'll never know what they are reading, what they are thinking, if we're not drawn to them to go near and hear. I want you to look at what the next verse says. It says, verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard who now? Heard who? Him. He heard him. Philip not only heard God, he heard men. How you doing? You know how it is? Going by? Work? Hey, how you doing? Good. Well, I'll see you later. Do you really want to know? Do you have time to stop and hear? Go near. Join yourself. And when he got there, he heard. He's reading the Bible. We walked into a home, Fragmentos, Uruguay, years ago, when I was 16 years old. Knocked at the door. Older man opened the door. And we showed our Bibles and said, we want to share with you the gospel. And he put his finger in front of his lips and made us a sign of silence. And he told us to come in. We walked in. He took us along hallway, and we could see a little light in the end of the hallway. As we turned into the hallway, there was a little table, and there was a little burner of kerosene, and there was an old woman with a Bible open, and he had his Bible on the table, and they were both reading the Bible, and they were both weeping, but they were both lost. And it was Ricardo and I, and we began to talk to these men, this man and this woman, about Christ. And we began to share the gospel with him. But we would never, and don't misunderstand me, we would have never gotten there if we didn't go near. I've heard some Christians say, well, I'm waiting for the Lord to guide me. I'm waiting for the Lord to indicate. Christ said on the mount before he left, go! What are you waiting for? And I'm not saying you have to go to Argentina. Pastor David doesn't have to go to Argentina. But what about neighbors across the street, front, back, around the block? And I'm not saying you're a Philip, an evangelist, because I'm not an evangelist. But I have to fulfill the words of Paul to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. My dad was an evangelist. I'm not. He didn't have to open his Bible and people got saved. But it's not that way with me. But I want to tell you something. I in the will of the Lord have gotten near to some people. And when you come near, you begin to weep. You start to hear them. And you start to hear what their hearts is thinking, what their minds are thinking, what's going on within. And you realize how much they need Christ. But you realize how much they need somebody to share with them. And the Spirit of God said to Philip expressly, notice verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Go near and join thyself to this chariot. We all know the gospel story. We all enjoy to hear it. But I want to tell you something. In essence, it's God came very near. He came down in the person of His Son. And He got down very near. So near that He, when it rained upon Him. He entered into all that I have. Hebrews chapter 2 says He took part of the same. He was touched, and He is touched, with the feelings of our infirmities. He stood beside Mary, and He was moved, and He wept, but because He was near. The Spirit of God said, go near, join yourself to that chariot. Philip did that, and he heard. It's like Gideon, remember? The Lord said to Gideon, go down to the camp and listen to what they're talking about. And Gideon went down, and there they were talking about him. Oh, he said, why so? I didn't know that. I think it was D.L. Moody, they say about him. He went to bed one night and he hadn't shared the gospel. And he had purpose in his heart. He'd share the gospel with somebody at least once a day with one soul. And that night he'd gone to bed and he hadn't. So he got up and it was 12 o'clock and it was raining. And he went down, went open the door and looked. And here across the street, a man was coming with an umbrella. So he ran right underneath the umbrella and said, what do you think of Christ? And the man said, how we've been thinking about that all day. And what was the issue? Go near. Draw near. It was God's Spirit who made Philip to draw near to the chariot. It was God's Spirit. And it says, if you'll notice with me, as Philip drew near, he listened to him, what he was reading. And he asked a question in verse 30 at the last of the verse, understandest thou what thou readest? And in that moment, there was an open door of utterance. Philip, who was able to speak to a man who was prepared of the Lord. And in that moment, the Bible says in verse 31, he says, how can I if somebody doesn't really guide me? And so he desired, he yearned for Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Let me share with you that many a times God has done that. We have seen over the years situations like this where men and women have begged us to come to their house and share. And here is the situation. Philip was being begged. Was it of great importance? Let me share with you something. Philip was reaching a city. And God in heaven began to move His servants. He was observing, calling, in His mercy, the Ethiopian eunuch. And I understand that they were outcasts in the temple. According to Deuteronomy chapter 23, they could not minister. A eunuch could not minister in the temple. But according to Isaiah chapter 56, God had given a great promise to the eunuchs. And the promise was that He was going to bless them with a blessing much greater than heaven's sons and daughters. And it was the blessing of the new covenant. It was an eternal promise God had made to the eunuchs. And let me tell you something. God began with this one. He began to fulfill that prophecy to Isaiah in chapter 56 with this eunuch. And He used Philip. He gave him a blessing which was greater than that of sons and daughters. He was going to call this eunuch to His everlasting kingdom. Well, let me tell you something. This eunuch had no opportunity to have a family, to rear children, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, I would say, what a waste. You'd have to work with families. You should work with people that are going to maybe have some fruit. God chose His eunuch and His mercy. Let me tell you something. God wasn't thinking of Samaria. And God was not only thinking of one eunuch. God was thinking of Ethiopia. A whole nation. So the Spirit of God moved an angel to speak to Philip. And then moved Philip to go to the desert to meet one Ethiopian that he would work through that man to reach a whole nation. Much more than just Samaria. Philip, is it so important to go to the desert? Is it so important to leave what I'm doing to do, to attend this little young man, this little young girl? I still remember that missionary that went to that church that prayer meeting night, and there was all women, and he had a message for men. And he was all upset, and he preached a message for men, and all that were in the meeting were women. And he was calling men to go out to the mission field, and he felt so bad. But he didn't notice a little boy in the back that was pumping the organ of the piano. Pumping the organ. He didn't notice him back there. And he didn't know who he was. He preached and went. And lo and behold, that was David Livingston. And that message God used to speak the young boy's heart. But sometimes we say, well, I just spoke to one. No big deal. One. If it's God's choosing, if it's God's calling, if He called you to draw near to that one soul, draw near to Him. You're doing His will, His bidding. Well, I want to share this to closing. The Ethiopian eunuch came to Jerusalem, to the temple of God, and found it empty. But let me tell you something. He went back to Ethiopia, being himself the temple of God, and he was full. You see, he went to see what religion could offer him, and he went back empty. But Christ met him halfway to Ethiopia and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Filled him with His Spirit. And you know what troubles me? There was no discipleship course. The Spirit of God took Philip away the moment they came out of the waters. And you know what happened with the Ethiopian eunuch? He didn't go to church. No. He went, the Bible says, rejoicing. Who was his teacher going to be? Well, the one that Jesus said in John 14-16 was going to be the Spirit of truth. Was going to guide him into truth. Now, this is not saying that we should not disciple and all this stuff, but it didn't work this way in Acts 8. God just used Philip to guide this man to Christ, but immediately after he came to Christ, he was taken away. And the poor eunuch was left all alone. Oh, he was ever more full than ever. He came to the temple looking for God, and he went back to Ethiopia with God in the temple of his heart. And that was God working. Let me just close by saying this. We ought to so live in our lives. We ought to so live, seeking to be so united to the Spirit of God, to know when He is prompting us to go near to a soul who is in need. We might just find that He is reading the book without understanding it. I was in a wedding, and I was close with this. I was in a wedding in Argentina. And a young man was at the wedding. And the men gathered around the table, and they were drinking. And I sat there, and I felt very uncomfortable. And I stepped aside just for a moment because there was smoking, so I went outside. And as I went outside, he came behind me. He had long hair. He looked like a bum. You know, the appearances so much deceive us, and we are so guided with appearances. And he said, "You're not comfortable." Well, I said, kind of, I don't feel that great. So I didn't know him that well, so I said, "Well, I'm going to just make it up front with him, because I like to get right to the ground before any friendship starts, if there is going to be any friendship." I said, "What do you think of Christ?" Well, he said, I read my Bible just about every day." And my mouth dropped. "How can you have long hair if you read your Bible?" You know? Thank God you cut your hair, David. No. "How can you have long hair?" I thought in my heart. He reads his Bible. And when I began to question him, I was amazed how much he knew. But he admittedly told me, "If I die today, I'll go to hell. And I know it." It's been, I don't know, a year or more, hon. I've been going to his house every Tuesday. Now, there is a little kick in there. We play chess. He likes chess and I like chess. So I said, "Okay, a deal. We'll do chess and we'll do Bible study." So we've had a tremendous time. He's come to our house and he's wept. But he's still not saved. And he will not call upon the Lord. But he was reading his Bible. We went door to door the other day. And every home refused us. Slam and rejection. And oh, I got so discouraged. And we just got one more house to go. And we looked in the house and it was a big, huge building with all kinds of these video machines in it. And this guy with no clothes on the top, little short, and sandals. Oh, I said, "We're going to get blown out here." So I walked in and I was kind of trembling. I gave him the track and I said, "We want to talk to you about Jesus Christ." And he grabbed the track and he was listening to me. And he kept looking at the track and I kept talking to him. And he said, "Will you come and visit me?" My mouth dropped. And I went back home and I told Lisa, I said, "Well, I didn't expect that at all from him." But I've gone back to this verse. Go near. You're going to hear something. It's going to amaze you. And since that, it's been 4 weeks now before I came up, that I've been going to his house, taking the scriptures. But you know, immediately after I went, JWs came to his house. It seems that always has happened that way. And when I got to his house the next visit, he said, "Look at all the JWs." I said, "Oh no." I said, "JWs." And he showed me other books. And he said, "They left me the Bible." Well, I said, "I can get your Bible. But they told me your Bible is not the right one." And so he started, "Oh brother," I said, "okay." Well, I said, "I'll get you a Bible." And he said, "How much is it going to cost?" Well, I said, "I'll give it to you." Well, JWs charged me $50 for the Bible. And they said, "They want me to pay every month." And I said, "I don't want it." They said, "You're going to want it because you're going to pay for it." Well, I said, "Praise the Lord for that." And it turned them down. He didn't want anything to do with them. So I gave him a Bible. And we started a study with him. I told him I had to leave and I was going to come back. But you know, his appearance, you know what I found? He was reading and he was thirsting. And he just needed somebody to come near. Now, not every person I've come near to has wanted to receive, don't get me wrong. But God calls us. And God said to Philip, "Go near, join yourself to that chariot." And when he got near, he's reading the scriptures. He's thirsting after God. God help us to be so in tune with His Spirit that we would be quick to do His prompting when we need to speak to someone. That's where the words of the Lord Jesus to the Apostle Paul, don't forget, in Corinth, when he said, "Don't keep quiet. Open your mouth and speak, for I still have much people in this city." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee again for this day. We pray, O God, that Thou would bless Thy Word, that we would be so in tune with Thy Spirit that we would seek to seek sinners as Thou dost seek them and draw near to them. We thank Thee that Thou wouldst call this eunuch who was going home lost in his religion, in his devotion, in his worship, and even was reading Thy Word, but was lost. And we thank Thee that Thou didst bring an eloquent mediator to his soul. We pray that we might be that to many, that You would use us in our inadequacy to be joined to the Spirit of Christ in such a way that when we are prompted by His Spirit to open our mouth to those who sit in darkness, to those who are near us, that we would go and draw near and open our mouth. We pray, our Father, that we would learn to listen to sinners and that You would grant us to hear their needs. We pray that in our nearness we would weep over them, even as Christ, when He drew near Jerusalem, wept over it. Gracious Father, we do thank Thee for this dear group of people here. We do thank Thee for each one. Thank Thee for Pastor Cairns and Pastor Barrett and Pastor Brain. We thank Thee for each one of the believers. No doubt each one is in Thy body, fulfilling Thy will and Thy purpose. Bless each one and bless Thy word to our hearts, we pray. In Christ Your name, amen.